know, I want to talk to you today about the blessing of boundaries. Many, many blessings on boundaries. And we don't always get that. But I'm going to tell you, our prisons would be totally void. There wouldn't be, they would just be totally empty if we knew the blessing that is on boundaries. We wouldn't have Bob Wiley detention centers open if families really knew the blessing of boundaries and borders. Young ladies, this abortion issue would not be big if people knew the blessing of boundaries. It's an amazing thing. So I want us to go there in a few minutes, but it's funny that today, in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, it talks about incontinency, how in the last days people would be incontinent. That means their passions would be unleashed. There would be no passion. You know, a few years ago in the 60s, there was a popular saying, if it feels good, do it. And so that has increased and that has grown to whatever you want to do. It's up to you. It's nobody's business what you do. But I'm going to tell you, that gets us in trouble if that's the case. Okay, let's, for a minute, you know how I like to run scenarios and parallels, because if we understand the natural things, we will understand the spiritual things better. You just always do. Well, let's look at the border, because a few weeks ago there was a voting in Iowa, which was a big deal. We all know that. And many said out there that it was all about the border, because America's border is open. And it's scary to normal people. We don't like it. We know that people are coming in from China and Iraq, Iran, Korea. I mean, if they can get out, they're coming to America from all over. And it's just frightening. I mean, you look out there and you see these young military-aged men, mainly men, young men coming across that border. No questions asked, no vetting, no questions about disease or anything. And it's just the craziest thing. And yet the people who want that border opened, or I should say no borders, there's globalists who just say, I don't want any border anywhere. Well, wouldn't it be a crazy map if we didn't have lines and boundaries and borders? That would just be hideous. And yet we have them. But the same people that want open borders, no border, guess what? They have big fences and big walls around their house. Just ask Mrs. Pelosi or Mr. Biden or any of them, and you will see the big walls or the fences around their home. Or around the White House, which is a good thing. It's always been there. Or around the Capitol building. Or security out if they go into a restaurant to eat an ice cream. We've always got security. But let us defund the police. And let's take that border down out there by Arizona and in Eagle Pass, Texas. And just let them pour in, and we don't know what's in their backpacks, and we don't know who paid their way. But have you ever seen them come in? They're all nicely, well, not, you know, nicely dressed. I mean, like new jeans and T-shirts and backpacks and coats. If you're that poor, you don't have all that. And after you've traveled 2,000 miles, you don't look that way, or 50 or whatever. How did they get here? Well, you got these billionaires like George Soros and some of these that are promoting them and putting the money into them and getting them here, okay? And can I just jump off here and tell you something? A couple of nights ago, I didn't have pizza for dinner. I didn't eat anything bad like I did with you guys the other night. I just had this dream that I was with George Soros. I mean, I was up close, like this far away from him. You know how George Soros looks, so handsome, you know. So anyway, So here's George Soros and me. And I want him to the Lord. He gave his heart to Jesus, and his eyes, his eyelids were just red. When I asked him, I said, "So, how does it feel?" And he looked at me, and his eyelids were red, and his, you know, his eyes are kind of baggy, you know how his eyes are. And he looked at me, and tears, hot tears filled his eyes and streamed down his face. And he was the most pitiful old man. And he said, "I have never, ever felt anything like this in my whole life." And I thought, God, the craziest of the crazies are not throwaways. Nobody's a throwaway. No one. And I woke up, said, "Oh God, we got to pray for these people. Because they want fences, but they don't want those fences out there." Now, if we understand that, you say, "Oh, shoot, you're getting all political." So, somebody better get political on Jesus' side in this deal. Or they'll just run right over us. Well, I got a little group of people here, and I'm not going to let them run over us while I have just a minute to talk to you. But if we understand what's going on in the natural, we can understand the spiritual better. Now, let me go over here. If you don't want borders in your home or in your life, or you let that little 12-year-old say, "You're too strict, and I don't want any boundaries." Well, we went there a little bit last week. Listen, that's going to be as unhealthy and as weird and as strange, and it will be dangerous for your babies. It will be dangerous for your marriage. We have to have boundaries. And church, listen, we have to understand the blessing of boundaries, even in our own lives. It's not everything goes. We can't do whatever we feel because it isn't hurting anybody but us. But some of these people are just coming from all over the world. And you know the story. There was, listen how hypocritical this is. There, you're going to get off that? Maybe, maybe not. But probably here in a minute. You remember when there was a few people that went into the Capitol building? And they called it insurrection. They called it an insurrection, rebellion against governmental authority. Called it an insurrection. And they put them in prison. They locked them up. Some of them are still there. And yet their doors were open to let them in. And yet these people can come across the border. I even heard yesterday that since 2020, that they have caught over 13,000 young men buddying up and making things happen for the cartel. How crazy is that? The cartel. But I'm going to tell you, young people, old people, and in between, we have to be careful about compromise. It may look like the simplest of decisions, but if you know to do it, and you know what's in your heart that says, "Don't do that," and you do it, the Bible says that's what sin is, if you know better. How many of you have told your little boy or little girl, "You knew better than that"? Well, how about you, Dad? How about you, Mom? You knew better than that, too. Now, God set borders for Adam and Eve, didn't he? He set boundaries, and he blessed them with that beautiful garden. He made the Garden of Eden, and then the third chapter of Genesis says he put them in the garden that he made for man. And so the boundaries he set was, you can eat anything that you you want in this garden. You can eat from any tree, and I have put the most beautiful fruit on these trees. The animals are yours. The weather is perfect. You have everything. The water is pure and clear. Just don't eat of that one tree out there, the tree of good and evil. What'd they do? Head right to the tree. Went right to. So this whole thing started a long time ago with people wanting to break boundaries. And so that's nothing new. And then as God spoke to Moses, remember when Moses went to the top of the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments? He also broke up the 12 tribes of Israel who were the 12 sons of Jacob, whose Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So he said, now for your 12 sons and all these people of Israel, they were broken up into tribes. And God said, you can see it, it's in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. God tells them, or tells Moses, look, give Reuben, give his tribe, give them 2,000 acres over there by the Jordan. And the tribe of Dan, give them 500 acres. I don't know what the difference was, but some had a whole lot of acres. Others didn't. But anyway, whatever it was, they all had a boundary, and he marked it off. And then God said, I think it's Proverbs 23, verse 10. Here's what God said to the neighbors. Do not remove the ancient landmark. Do not remove the ancient landmarks. Now, the only way they could mark their property lines in those days, today, even you and I have, you know, we got a little corral fence, but at least it's around the church. We didn't need it because this property's broken up into parcels, and the county knows what belongs to us and what belongs to the neighbors. But in those days, the way that they marked their property was with stones. And way out there on the property line, they would put these stones, and at each corner they would build a little pillar. I don't know how tall it was, but it was a stone pillar. And God said, now, do not remove the ancient landmarks. Don't move them. But guess what a crooked neighbor would do? A crooked neighbor would know this will go unnoticed, and he would get his sons and in the middle of the night and go out there and move those stones over a little bit. So nobody really knew it. I mean, who goes out there and visits the back 40? So they would keep moving, and pretty soon those people realized, hey, something's going on. I'm losing some of my property here. What's happening? So if you've been losing a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there, let me tell you something. The devil has come and moved your boundaries. He has moved that old ancient landmark that God gave to you. I mean, it's just been going on for a long, long time. Now, when we were in Israel in 2017, we were very, very close at one time. Of course, you're close to everything when you're in Israel. We were real close to the Syrian border, and there was it was less powerful than a cyclone fence. My daddy used to call it chicken wire. I don't know what it was, but it was just this horrible old fence out there, and the guide said, that's Syria right there. We're like, what? Yeah, just over that fence is Syria. We don't go there. Don't anyone jump over that fence. And then we are down here in Israel at this diamond factory. They were showing us how they cut their diamonds. So we walk out, and a couple said to the lady who was like an insurrectionist, I could tell they were always a little bit rebellious. And so they said to her, and they were very wealthy. That was neither here nor there. But they asked our guide, they said, hey, we heard Egypt's right there. Is that Egypt? She said, yes, it's Egypt. But do not go over the border into Egypt. We may never see you again. Don't go. Well, guess where that couple went for dinner? they went over into Egypt. And we're like, what? Well, they did get out and they came back. But these journalists who just have to have a better story. And you know journalists, I mean, we've seen them on TV. They go into Mexico. And what happens? You never see them again. They're in those horrible jails with dirt floors. I mean, they lock them up. They're not even going to give an American a visa. They're not even vetting. Are you serious? They're just going to lock you up, throw away the key. We've watched sweet American journalists or students go to North Korea. Remember the young man that came home on a stretcher? Total, like a vegetable, didn't know anything. And they sent him home like that. It was due to torture and beatings. They don't put up with it. You do not cross border lines. Listen, I'm telling you today, God wants me to speak to us about how important it is to have boundaries and borders in our life, because there is a real devil and he really hates the people of God. He's as real as God is, and he spends 100% of his time, first of all, lying to us. Telling you every lie he can think of about you, and then trying to destroy you and your family and your marriage and anything that you have in churches all over America. Just wants to destroy everything. So it's just very important. I just want to take the message from the journalist and just don't cross over borders. Lainey and I've told some of you before, but let me tell it again because it'll fit right here. So we were on our way to Sarah and I were on our way to Bakersfield, going to Santa Barbara Clinic, driving down Highway 65. And you know, you always see, what do you call them, flocks of sheep, herds of sheep. And here were, the traffic came to a total standstill. I mean, and the line was backed up. Finally, she gets out of the car and she looks down there and could see. She says, I don't know, Mom. She goes, there's big rigs down there, big 18-wheelers, and the truckers are out. And it looks like they're pulling a body across the street or across the highway. It looks like they're pulling bodies. Well, when the traffic finally started moving, we were out there about an hour or two. Traffic started moving. And when we got up there, it was the saddest picture. These poor sheep, and they were huge. I mean, these were huge sheep. They were all out there grazing. And one of the, probably a leader of the flock, didn't have to be a leader, but found out that there was a hole in the fence. And there was about 10 of them that followed this sheep. And though they had green pasture and waters and a shepherd, there were two or three shepherds out there. You could see their little vehicles out there. And yet, those sheep were just strewn all over the highway. And when we drove by, I looked down, and there was a heart laying out there and lungs. I can't even tell you. It was just horrible, horrible, horrible. And these poor men can do anything. And they're out there driving, pulling all this stuff across the road. Why? Because they left their boundary, they left their borders. One of the sheep thought it might be good to go over there and look and see what's over there. Decided to do that and had a lot of followers. I'm just saying, don't be impressed with what your best pal does, your best friend. You don't have to follow them because it could get you in big trouble. Okay, I'm just saying. And isn't this amazing? When we talk about borders in America, our borders in America would be not to keep us in, because everybody wants to come to America. It's not to keep us in. We're free to travel. We can travel anywhere we want to as Americans, but to keep the enemy out. But if people want to come in, we welcome them. They become citizens. They can come here and visit. They can take tours. You go to Disneyland. Used to go to Disneyland, and you saw more Chinese people and Korean people with with cameras on their neck into Hawaii. Tourists coming because they knew they could. It's free America. And yet, that Great Wall of China, one of the seven wonders of the world, people have always been fascinated. Since I was a little girl, I've heard talk about the Wall of China, the Great Wall. But that's to keep their people in. Who wants to go there? A few. But you have to be careful. But that Great Wall, walls. Well, I don't want us, I mean, God doesn't want us as Christians to build up walls around us. Because here's what happens. When you've been hurt through marriages or relationships or your children or whatever, you've just been hurt or rejected or betrayed, and you get that enough, if you get that enough, you're going to want to build that Great Wall of China around you where no one can get in. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is not God. And you need to be like the walls of Jericho. And I prayed it today. When we get to the table of the Lord, that all those walls, if you have a hard heart because of those walls built around you, that you let them fall today when you get to the cup of the Lord. Boundaries are here for our protection, for love, for care. That's why we care for our children. We do everything with boundaries. God said, I set your boundaries. Would you look with me? Put this up, Kathy, please. Acts 17:26. I've always loved this verse. Look at this. And he is made from one blood. Look at this. We're all one blood. Color doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and what? The boundaries of their dwelling. What's it saying? It goes, okay, one of us are not better than another. We all came from one blood. You cut us, we got red blood. We're just one blood. No black, white, purple, blue, red, yellow, black, and white. It's just one blood. And he said, look at this. He determined your pre-appointed time. That's why you and I live down here in the 2000s. We were born for this generation. Isn't that amazing? We live in this generation on purpose. Absolutely on purpose by the plan of God. And then I love this part that says, he set the boundaries of their dwelling. In other words, he knew we would live in Tulare County. He knew we'd live in Porterville, Tarabella, Springville, Ducor, Delano. He knew Bakersfield. He knew where we would live. So he said, I want this. It was absolutely intentional on God's part. He's determined that we live in this era of time. And he knows your address. Remember when he sent Paul down to that, or sent Ananias down to that, he said, go down to the street called Straight. He knows what street you live on, your address, your name, and everything about you, because he was very intentional about us. All right. So how would you like to drive down Highway 65, of course, a 4 or 5 lane highway in the larger cities? How would you like to drive down those highways without a boundary line? Without a yellow line, a white line? Would you? No one would do that. A yellow suicide for sure. That just wouldn't happen to us. And then, who's ever seen a football game? I don't understand all those lines. I don't understand a 40-yard and a 10-yard and a 25-yard. I don't understand all those yard lines, but they're there. And obviously, they have to be there. And the goalposts have to be there, and the bounds have to be there. In other words, they're always talking about they're out of bounds. Look to be like they caught the ball, so let them have it. Just go with it. Baseball, the same thing. Baseball has lines. The volleyball has lines. Every race, every kind of race you can imagine that goes on, horse races, track races, they've all got borderlines without it. So everything has it. Everything has it. And then there's trespassing boundaries. We used to have them at the ranch over on the river. Do not trespass. You know, you just have to have it because you're saving people from danger. All right. But here's the deal I want to say here. Whenever people start thinking that boundaries are negatives, and young people, I'm not just going to point this to you, but I kind of am right now. Because mom and daddy tell you to come in at a certain time for your own safety and for your own good. They tell you how important it is, young lady, for you to carry yourself as a lady. They talk to you about your dress. Oh, dress code. There has to be one in the home. There just has to be for your young people. There's all kinds of things. They tell you don't go and lay down with your boyfriend. You may get pregnant. That's all right. I'll get an abortion. That's about the way it is today. Young people, they act like they don't know what causes pregnancy. Why? No. And so then this is where the abortion comes from, because we don't want dating rules. People come to church, they don't want even any boundaries of churches. You have to have boundaries in the church. Listen, you have to have boundaries with your friends. No, you know what? I don't do that. My boundaries right here. You know, I love you and we've been best friends for years, but no, you know my boundaries. You know, I'm not going there. You have to have boundaries on your TV. You say, my kid, their kids say a bad word. Or you say, don't do that. Oh, you got timeout. Probably you don't do that. You have timeout, whatever you do. But if you're letting them and allowing them to watch those TV movies or sitcoms or whatever that have the bad words and do all these things and Dancing with the Stars half nude, oh, you're so old fashioned, I'm leaving this church. Well, we're still going to have I'm still going to teach, whether you're here or not. But you wouldn't invite a half-naked girl to come in your living room and dance in front of the kids and your husband like that, would you? Or your wife? You wouldn't do that. So don't be getting on your kid you probably should. But if you're letting them listen to TV where they use bad words and, oh, it's not a bad word, it's just slang. If you're watching stuff on the internet, you know better, as you said to your child, he knows better than that. So do you. If you don't do it by faith and you have to do it in the privacy when nobody's looking, that's wrong to you. Totally wrong. Just keep that computer out there. Well, no, now we got it on the phone. So you can sit there and hide your phone. Somebody walks in, man, you turn it off real quick. Why'd you do that? Okay, I'll get off. Don't you wish I'd just stop? Okay, I'll stop. Look, I'm just talking about boundaries, you guys. It's really a bad thing. And kids, it will hurt you. Know that your parents are just caring about you and loving you and trying to teach you right from wrong. And if I don't tell you as a church, you're not going to hear this at work. I promise you won't. You won't hear it. So I'm not going to teach like this every single Sunday. But there's just things that we respect ourselves with. We respect yourself. See, there's a self-respect that comes with us. And it's all for our good. And we have such blessings. And I'm going to close with this. But I want you to know that even in our finances, there has to be boundaries. Don't get your check on the 1st or the 3rd or the 15th and go spend all your money on your wants. Going out to dinner. Boy, I'm going to buy this when I get that. And then when you're out of money, you start borrowing $20 here and $100 here. Could you float me a loan? And I want to do this. So you go out begging for your needs, somebody to give you gas money, somebody give you food money, somebody to give you this or that, where you wasted your money on your wants. There has to be boundaries in our finances as well. There just has to be boundaries, as I said, in our clothing and whatever we do. There just must be for our own good. Now, you'll just find yourself falling into bad habits and all that. And there is a scripture. James, the brother of Jesus, said this. Now, this will create an open door in your home where it just says, come on in, devil. You just come on in here with us. Here's what James said. He said, where there is envy and where there is strife. Where there's always strife, always a fuss, always negative. Where there's envy, jealousies, strife. Where there's envy and jealousies, there is strife and, listen to this, every evil work. I don't know about you, but look, folks, we can't afford any more evil than we're already looking at. I mean, it's all over the place. Turn the TV on, it's there. You can't even hardly watch the news, though. We got to watch the news. You got to hear what's going on. Some of the commercials, they're just junk. We can't get around it. I mean, we're on this earth, and Jesus said, I'm not here to take you out of it. You live in it, but you're not of it. So you love the people you're around. You love the people of the world. You love people. You show love. But you watch yourself, okay? You're the only one you have to watch. We don't have to judge anybody. I don't care where you were last night, what you did, how bad it was. You're here today, and I love you, and God loves you. So that's what we're after, is to love you with all of our hearts. And then it's up to God to help you. And when he gives me a word, I'll bring it. So he says, I just want you to know, I don't want confusion in every evil work in your home. I don't want confusion in every evil work in your mind. I don't want confusion in every evil work everywhere you go. I want you to have peace. All right, last verse. Look at Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16. God says, I don't want you experiencing that confusion and every evil work, because no eye, he says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what else? No tongue can tell the things I've prepared for those who love me. Because I've got stuff laid up for you. So I'm telling you today, don't throw all that away. Maybe you haven't seen the best yet. Doesn't mean it's not coming. It's still yours. Yeah, no. He just restores everything. If you come to him, he restores it all. That's over. That's behind you. That's gone. It's over. He does not even remember that. So let your past, let that go. Take up your own boundaries now that you're a Christian and walk, as the old song says, a different way. Okay, Psalm 16, look at verse 5. David speaking. Now remember, David had already had relations with Bathsheba. It was wrong. She was another man's wife, so that was a bad deal. But God said, that boy, David, he's a man after my own heart. And I love him. And he was the king of Israel. Look at verse, here's what David says about God, verse 5, 16:5. O Lord, you are the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. You, Lord, you maintain my lot. What? My lot, my garden, my home, my life, because I don't know how to maintain it. I'll do the best I can, but David said, God, you will mow the weeds down. You'll plow up things that need to come up. You're my portion, my inheritance, my cup. You maintain my lot. And look at verse 6. The lines, or boundaries, the lines have fallen to me, look at this, in pleasant places. Pleasant places. Good things, Lord. You've laid it out for me. And yes, I have a good inheritance. David said, I didn't know how good it was. And I'm telling you today, some of you have no idea how good your inheritance is. It's like a blind person that owns this great painting and it's worth $5 million. They bought it, and yet they can't see it. What good is that painting? It just means nobody can take it. But what good is it going to do them? They can't see it. And if we have this great inheritance, and he says, I will maintain your lot, and we don't know it, then what good is it to us? He said, I've set pleasant lines. I've set pleasant boundaries for you. Good things for your life. I want you to call on this verse this week. Mark it in your Bible. Keep it. Verse 7. And then David says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart. Look at this. My heart. My heart. Also, see, he said, God counsels me, but my heart also instructs me. Look at this. In the night seasons, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I'll not be moved. He says, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. Night seasons different from nighttime. Nighttime, you'll wake up in the morning. Night seasons are sometimes, a night season is a season that's not very good. And it goes on for a few months or years. And it's hard. And yet David said, my heart instructs me in those night seasons where you don't have your Bible on your lap when you're laying in the bed or you're somewhere just grieving over what happened. You don't know how you're going to get through it. You just have no idea what to do about it. You don't have your Bible with you at that moment. But there's something in your heart, Sandra. What is it? It's the Bible. You got the Bible in your heart. And that still small voice that will speak to you. Oh, you'd never hear him with these ears. But you'll hear him talking to your heart. Suddenly you'll come up and have some kind of an encouragement in you. And all of a sudden this thought comes to you. I can do this. I can do this. I can get through this. What was that? Sandra, that was him counseling you. And then your own heart helps you in the night season. Woo! All right. So he says, I have a good inheritance. And God, you're my portion. You're my portion. He has portioned out like the people of Israel got those thousands of acres. He said, I've given you a portion. I am your portion. I'm your portion. I am your inheritance. And I want you to look at verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures, pleasures, pleasures. Oh, we're a people who need pleasures. You can be wealthy. You can have all the money. You can have a beautiful family. You can have everything around you. But if this is not right, if this is not right, or relationships aren't right, it can be a night season. But I tell you this, he said, in my presence, there is fullness of joy. You won't find it anywhere else, but you get to his presence and know that he's there by faith. And he said, I'll fill you with joy. Stand your feet with me, please. He is our portion. He is our cup. And if you get a cup of cold water on a hot day, it refreshes you and it nourishes you and it strengthens you. He is our cup. Listen, church, he is our cup to refresh us, to restore us, to put everything back in you that may have been lost. Now, you've got to know he's your portion. You can't be like the blind man. Well, I hope. No, there's no hoping about it. If you gave your heart to him, he is your portion and he's your inheritance. You say, well, like me, my mom and daddy died, didn't leave me anything. Well, He's my inheritance. Beautiful inheritance to all of us. Wonderful Jesus, how we love you. I want you to lift up your hands to him now as the ushers come. You're a beautiful inheritance, Lord. There's none like you. Would you open our hearts and our minds? How easily we forget that you are our inheritance, that you are our portion. You didn't just give us a portion of you. You said, I'm it. I am your portion. There is nothing you go through that I don't know how to get you through it. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. No, I always know. If you will come to me, I'll give you those pleasant boundaries. And those that have already come, he's already set pleasant boundaries before you. And in his right hand is pleasures forevermore. Oh, you and I will go through tough times. Of course we will. We will. But I'm going to tell you, you can go through hard times and not even know you've been hit when his peace comes upon you. Father, we praise you. Father, if there be one here today that says, I do not know Jesus. I've walked away from him. I was like those sheep. I walked out. I thought the borders were too negative. I thought the boundaries were too negative, too harsh. And I got myself in trouble. I'll tell you what, for some people, they walk across the boundary one time and it catches them. And there's always consequences. But God says, I'll help you through those too. But Father, I pray today, if that one says, no, I broke through the border and I got lost, just ask him right now, Lord, receive me. I come to you. I repent. I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. I knew better, but I did it anyway. Forgive me, Lord. To me, it was sin. So I repent before you and these people today. Lord, we receive your inheritance. We receive your portion. And we receive your cup now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you please come to the table of the Lord and get a cup? I'm going to invite you today. You prayed that prayer with me. Come on, you're ready. You belong to God. You're his son. You're his daughter. Come on and get your cup today. Receive communion. Wonderful Jesus. He doesn't want anybody left out. He said, I died for you. Died for everybody here. Wonderful Jesus. At this point, we don't need anything else. What we just did was powerful enough. I mean, if we didn't do anything else until he came, coming to his table is enough. This week, as you're going through time, you meet up with a hard time. Maybe, what am I saying? Oh, you will. Just say, Lord, I drank your blood and I ate of your body last week. Rely on that. Come back to this point. He said, in my right hand, anytime it talks about his right hand, it means his strong right hand. There's strength in it. His pleasures forevermore. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Don't let depression, you know, Satan always trying to nip at our heels with depression, oppression, or something. I went to your table, Lord, and in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Not hard to get into his presence. You just say, Linda, would you come here, please? Linda, would you come here? Okay. What does she do? Come here, Linda. Come here. I just want to be in your presence. What does she do? I called her and she came. What does Jesus do? You say, Jesus, I need you. And he comes, just like Linda did. He loves to be in our presence. We think we need to be in his, but he says, I love you to be in my presence. Woo, amen, amen. All right. Well, the Lord bless you. and keep you and cause his beautiful face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful face toward you, and give you peace, protection, health, wealth, and blessing all of your days and directions. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being at Landmark today. We love you so much.